People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and issues related to health and wellness.
Welcome to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. New supportive housing that aims to minimize exposure to substance use is planned for Victoria and Nanaimo. A recently announced partnership between the province of BC, the city of Victoria, and Kool-Aid Society will see 20 units of recovery-oriented housing at a site on Victoria's Johnson Street. According to information from BC Housing, it is intended for people who have completed early stage recovery, with the site expected to open next year. Meanwhile, another planned BC Housing project in Nanaimo aims to prioritize individuals who have expressed a desire to minimize exposure to alcohol and substances. That site is called Sparrow and is planned to be located on the former Travelers Lodge care facility at 1298 Nelson Street in Nanaimo. It was planned to open earlier this year, but according to a BC Housing website, there have been unexpected delays with required site upgrades and work is ongoing. Pacifica Housing is lined up to operate the site. I spoke with their CEO, Carolina Ibarra, about the model planned for Sparrow. What exactly is the model you're planning at using at this Sparrow site?
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me and for asking this question. We're very excited about the model that the Sparrow would have. Essentially, it's still low barrier housing. So for individuals who struggle with multiple challenges, but it's for people who are on their road to reducing substance use. And what that means is that this model is a little bit different. People are encouraged to not use substances. In fact, there's a lot more rules in the Sparrow model around ensuring that even paraphernalia isn't visible anywhere on the site. Again, this is for individuals who are on their journey to sobriety. What's curious about this model is we know that not everybody's journey to sobriety is the same, and it's not always linear. So people may have relapses. And there are also people who can't completely stop using substances because they may have medical issues like pain management. And so the model at the Sparrow, which is housing focused, it is not a medical model. It is to support people on this journey and preparing them for living independently at some point without supports.
How did this model come about? Was it something that was Pacifica's idea? Was it something that BC Housing was kind of pitching and you submitted a bid for?
So it's something that Pacifica, like many others, have been advocating for in terms of seeing this gap in the system. So there's a lot of people that do go to recovery. I know that it is challenging to access, and that's in the news, but a lot of people do go to recovery from supportive housing. And the challenge is that then there's nowhere for them to go if they still need supports. So they'll go back to supportive housing, which is not the best place for them at that stage. And so it's something that we've been advocating for, but it was actually BC Housing who said that in discussions with the city of Nanaimo, they decided that this was the model that they wanted to pursue, and in the understanding that it was still a low barrier housing first model. And so we had submitted an RFP and for a low barrier supportive housing operations, and we were successful.
So it's a low barrier model, but there are these rules meant to dissuade people from using substances as much as possible. How does that kind of work? What happens if someone doesn't follow the rules, say?
So if I can give you a comparison, it'll be easier to understand, because I know this is an unusual model and I don't know that there's anything quite like it in British Columbia, although it does exist elsewhere. So our site in Nikeo, which is low barrier transitional housing, that is where somebody would go directly off the street. who has complex issues. And what we do at NICAO is people are not required to stop using substances because we just want them to stabilize. Once they're stable, they may choose to go to recovery and we'll help them to get to recovery. So we wouldn't penalize someone for using it NICAO because first and foremost, we want them to be stable and be able to make decisions. Then they might go out of recovery to a place like Sparrow. And at Sparrow, there would be a requirement to commit to reducing your substance use or not using at all, and to participating in programming specifically related to recovery and reduction of substance use. Again, this is not a recovery model, or an abstinence model. So if somebody, again, needs to use for medical reasons or they relapse, we would work with them to get them back on track. It wouldn't be an immediate eviction unless they just are not on board and their behavior and the way they use is more, they're not willing or able to stop it. In that case, we would probably send them back to NICAO. And so what this does is it gives people an opportunity, and that's why I say it's low barrier, because it's a bit more accepting of people who are struggling but trying hard, which there are many. And there are also many people who go into places like NICAO who don't have a lot of substance use and they don't want to be around substance use. So a place like Sparrow would be perfect because they don't necessarily need recovery. They just want to be away from substances and they'd still get the support to try and get them to move on independently.
Do you have the capacity at your sites to do something like, say, hold a couple of spaces open at the no super low barrier site at NICAO in case someone needs to move back from Sparrow to there?
So we actually have a lot of movement at our sites. People don't think that. People have this impression that people go into a place like NICAO and that is where they go for the rest of their lives or to die. I mean, you've got some pretty dire thoughts there. People actually move around a lot. In our supportive housing portfolio, we had about, out of 300 units, about 40 people moved around, whether they went to other sites, they went to recovery, they went to independent living, they went to move with family. So these are very dynamic spaces. And so the exact number, I don't know that we would need to hold units because the most likely thing is that it would be something would probably come available at some point quickly.
The other thing you mentioned earlier on is the whole idea of this Sparrow model isn't necessarily like it, this could be the case, but it isn't necessarily the case that it's helping someone stop or continue to stop their substance use. It could also just be a space for people who just don't have any issues with substance use and don't really want to be living around it.
Correct. And it gives them the opportunity to have supports that are appropriate for their needs. So I know there's hesitation from those who are Housing First advocates and committed to Housing First and low harm reduction, including the province, to create these other spaces out of fear of saying, oh, well, it looks like we're not committed to it. But the reality is we absolutely need those Housing First harm reduction spaces where substance use is required, again, for stabilization. And it's not a one size fits all. We can also have supports in low barrier for people who don't require what a place like NICAO offers. And that frees up space for those who do, which there are a lot of people who really, really do. So it is, it's a win-win. If you think about it, I know I'm starting to ramble, so I will watch myself. If you think of it from a high level policy perspective, what the province has done here and it hasn't been executed on, so I recognize that, but it really is brilliant policymaking because you've got a place like there's a lot of people on the street with a variety of needs, including high substance use and mental health. Then you have a place like NICAO where they can stabilize. And then you'd have a place, hopefully, eventually, like Sparrow, where those who don't need NICAO can go and won't take up that space. And those who are ready to graduate, but not yet to independent living, have a place to go and get better. On top of that, the province has launched a rent supplement program with clinical supports that's not very well known. Pacifica manages, I think, about 40 rent supplements in Nanaimo, where it helps people who might not yet afford to live on their own and market to move on. So all the building blocks, in theory, are there. The challenge is being able to execute on all of them. And right now, the challenge is that Sparrow has not opened, and that Nikkeo is, because it's transitional temporary, it's perpetually under threat of closing. So if we could just solidify all of those building blocks, Nanaimo would have most of what it needs to resolve its homelessness problem. Just would probably need more of it. But solidifying that that continuum would be a humongous step forward.
You talk there about the housing continuum, the idea that at one end there's just people with no kind of outside support or subsidies renting or buying things on the private market. On the other end, there are super low barrier sites like Nikkeo that you describe. What are the things we're most missing from the housing continuum? Is it this model at Sparrow? Is it more of a certain type of thing? Can you just give me a sense of what needs to be done to make that continuum in a healthy place?
So in Nanaimo is quite representative of the province, but Nanaimo, I think, has probably a per capita bigger issue than most cities in the province. So I think where we're in a good place is that there's been a lot of affordable housing built. So that's really positive. As I said, on the other end, of course, there's more in the pipeline in Nanaimo because Nanaimo is growing, so we'll need more. But that seems to be overall supported by the city and the province. Then there's the rent supplement program that kind of helps people move into the private market if they can't quite afford. And that's, again, a super successful program, great building block. Where we struggle is there is not a lot for people coming out of recovery who need supports, who are not quite ready to be on their own. I mean, I think even Matthew Perry, I was listening to something his sister was saying that he struggled with when he came out of recovery. He felt so alone and not ready to be on his own. So that's where a place like Sparrow, or what we see that Kool-Aid's going to have in Victoria, are critical. And then lastly, we have low barrier supportive housing, but that is the trickiest piece because the people who need the places like Nikkeo, I'd say there's a lot of them, and there's not enough spaces like Nikkeo. And the spaces that there are often occupied by people who can't move anywhere else, like who don't need them and can't move. So I think filling that sort of gap where there is nothing like the Sparrow would be a huge path forward in opening spaces for people who need them the most in places like Nikkeo, and really get people moving in the right direction so that they're in the place that serves them best. I know I often hear we can't build programs or housing that meets every individual's need, and absolutely not. But there are proven systems where you have these different options for people who are in different parts of their journey or who have different needs, and it works really well. So it's in Nanaimo's on its way, but we need more low barrier that is not constantly at threat of closing because it's temporary transitional. And we need that other step for people who are just a bit further along in their journey.
You're listening to People First Radio. My name is Joe Pugh, and I'm speaking with Carolina Ibarra, CEO of Pacifica Housing. We're talking about the model for a planned housing site in Nanaimo. Called Sparrow, it's expected to be located on the former Traveler's Lodge Care Facility at 1298 Nelson Street. The site was supposed to open earlier this year, but according to a BC Housing website, there have been unexpected delays with required site upgrades and work is ongoing. Also, according to that webpage, the plan for this particular site is to prioritize individuals who have expressed a desire to minimize exposure to alcohol and substances. What is the status of the Sparrow building? Is there any kind of update you can give me with what's going on and when it might open?
So there is, I can share what we know, which is not a lot. What we know is that it is, an opening date is uncertain. I know that there are safety upgrades that need to take place, which it has been a challenge to get them off the ground. I know that it's a project that the city and the province and Pacifica and everybody, the wider community, really want to see to get it off the ground. So I'm hopeful something will happen. I am concerned because of the time that it has taken to open, and I hope it doesn't fall by the wayside. I mean, we have furniture, we have staff identified. We would be ready to go very quickly. It's the space that is missing. And I can't share much more because the process is really between the province and the owner of the building. I think it just is one more example of the challenges of getting supportive housing off the ground. Regardless of the reasons, it just seems like it always hits barriers. I guess my invitation to the province outside of Sparrow is that I think there's a lot of nonprofits like Pacifica who would make great partners in getting things off the ground. We are a secure partner. Many of us own land. We've done business, if you call it that, with the province for a very long time with successful outcomes. And I think that would, in the future, help alleviate some of the challenges that are often faced in delivering supportive housing. But yeah, I've got my fingers crossed that we'll be able to get past this.
There's another supportive housing project that was announced pretty recently in Victoria. It's going to be run by Kool-Aid. It's also going to have a focus on trying to create a space for people to not use substances. From your understanding of that project in Victoria, is it fair to kind of lump it in together with Sparrow and say it's a similar model being used?
I'd say it's at the same end of the continuum, but from what I understand, Kool-Aid is the nonprofit that will be operating it. I understand that it's an abstinence-based model. It's for people who have a certain number of months in sobriety. So it's a bit different in that way. It's but also a very, very needed model because there are some people who complete sobriety is where they want and need to go. And it's fantastic that they're rolling it out. It's, as I understand it, a partnership between the City of Victoria, Kool-Aid, and the province. Again, those are winning solutions. The building's owned by Kool-Aid. So as someone who happens to live in Victoria and work in Victoria, we also see the need here. I just think that is a fantastic initiative, and I'm so excited for everybody involved.
Is there anything like that initiative in the works or already in operation in Nanaimo?
Not at this time. I think Sparrow would be, again, the closest thing in that end of the spectrum. I will say that the need in Victoria and the need in Nanaimo is very different. The acuity in Nanaimo is that it's the complexity of the needs of the people on the street, and the volume of people on the street is higher compared to Victoria based on our experiences operating in both sites and both sides. So I don't know that a fully abstinence-based model would be what Nanaimo needs the most. I'd say something more like Sparrow, which again was not exactly our idea. That was the province and the city really expressed what they needed. I think that's exactly what Nanaimo needs at this stage because of the complexity of the problem there.
Could you tell me a little more about what that high acuity means and, you know, your suggestion that from what you're seeing as a housing provider in both places, that people in Nanaimo, you're seeing that they have higher acuity needs?
Yes, so I know it's a complicated concept because it can be many things, but acuity is basically the complexity of people's needs. And what we see in Victoria, our team also works with the city of Victoria in doing outreach. We help them relocate people from parks, and we are now working in the downtown core, which is where a lot of the more recent challenges that have been in the news have been highlighted. And what the team is seeing there is like a mid acuity. Yes, there's people with substance use. There are some with brain injury, but in Victoria, what we see is people who've really struggled to have stable housing for a long time. And so that is why their substance use is heavy. And so it's really hard to really know how poor their mental health is. We see a lot of people with physical health needs. And so most likely, a lot of people in Victoria, if they had a place, say like Nikeo to stabilize, they would do quite well. Now, in Nanaimo, I think Nikeo takes, as I understand it, including from BC Housing, the highest acuity individuals in Nanaimo. And what we see there is a lot more complex mental health issues. So it's not just substance use. There are more complicated mental health issues. And what we have at Nikeo, which is not as readily available in Victoria, and there's other sites have this in Nanaimo as well, is that Island Health does send a medical team that's very well equipped very frequently. And so for example, the average number of staff we have, or most organizations have at a site in Victoria, is two staff 24/7, and Nikeo is four staff 24/7. Plus, you know, it's got a lot of wraparound, and that's why it's so successful. And that meets the needs of the people on the street in Nanaimo much better. If anything, I'd say we need more availability. And Victoria just needs a bit more of that. But I don't know the reasons why we see what we see in Nanaimo, but it's definitely more complex. And at the same time, we have also seen through Nikeo and some of the other sites in Nanaimo, like the ones run by Island Crisis Care, that people do stabilize and can get much better with the right supports.
We've been talking today about supportive housing, about supportive housing models that are meant to help people with the goal of reducing their substance use. Are there any things you think it's important to maybe make sure aren't assumptions people have when they're listening to a conversation about this topic, or things you find in maybe media coverage of these issues? Come through and you feel like need to be addressed, maybe misconceptions or assumptions people might have on the topic of there are a lot of overlapping topics that come into a conversation like this one. So is there anything, given that you think it's important to kind of directly address?
So many, a lot of misunderstanding. A lot of people think that, and I hear this a lot, the supportive housing is warehousing people and housing first is part of the problem and harm reduction is enabling. Done properly, it is not. And we have proof in BC. It is a place for people to stabilize and then we find them what they need so they can move forward. We do struggle when the resources aren't there. To support the complexity of the needs of people. And certainly, I've talked a lot about the legislative framework being under the RTA. Some of these supportive housing sites creates a safety risk. But that these are things that can all be addressed, and I understand the province is working to help address them. These are critical. These are critical. This is critical infrastructure needed to alleviate what we see in the streets. They are successful. We just need to figure out how to be able to deliver them faster. We see the province's commitment to the whole continuum, to the system that is known to be successful. So I guess I would just invite people to have an open mind to understand the things that are working and that do work and why, and the things that aren't, to try and understand why too, because those can all be addressed and we can always use the public support in resolving them.
Is there anything else you think it's important to bring to this conversation about Sparrow or any of the issues related?
So, I guess the last thing is that, when Sparrow was announced, we had the prospect of 78 new units, much needed on the continuum, coming to Nanaimo. But now we're in a place where we don't know when that would open. But as it happens every couple of years, we're told that Nakheo has more 1 year left of life, and it will close. And once again, we've been told to stop filling units, because, of course, for our population without stabilization, there is nowhere else in Nanaimo for them to go other than the street. And so we're constantly caught in this. Will we have 144 units, or will we lose 144 units? Which is, the addition of Nakheo and Sparrow. And I'm just really hopeful that we can get to a place where making sure that these much needed supports are made permanent, and not constantly at risk, because the people on the street desperately require them, and the communities, the businesses, the neighborhoods desperately require us to get this right. By us, I mean all of us who are in the housing sector, providers, government. And so I really, really hope that the province, and the city, and this isn't a slight to either of them because they've both, again, made these commitments, find a way to move forward, so that these things that work, in all of the negativity, these things that we know are successful, can finally be permanent and no longer at risk of closing, so we can help those people who really desperately need it.
Carolina Ibarra, thank you very much for making the time to speak with me.
Thank you. I really appreciate the invitation, particularly at this time.
Carolina Ibarra is CEO of Pacifica Housing. We reached out to BC Housing and Kool-Aid Society, hoping to talk about the recovery-oriented housing project recently announced in Victoria. Neither organization was able to accommodate an interview ahead of our deadline for this week's program. BC Housing did send a statement about that project. We'll include it in the show notes of the online version of this episode.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.